Rabbi, today's daf is Nida daf Yud Beis. This is the last daf of the first parak of Maseches Nida. And the entire daf, really, today's shir is sponsored, first of all, anonymously in gratitude to Hashem for the Refuah Shleima of Nava Gavriela Bas Naomi Tova and in honor of her first birthday. And we thank the anonymous sponsor very much for the sponsorship and are so grateful that Nava Gavriela has had a Refuah Shleima. And it is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And we thank Dr. Landerer very much for the sponsorship. So I should do that one too? Yeah. And he wanted to do it anonymously? Or?
No.
No? Okay. I think he did. It is also sponsored anonymously from someone who finished the New York City, the New York City Marathon yesterday, and he trained for the marathon listening to these Dafyomi Shiurim. So we thank him very much for the sponsorship as well. That is quite the double accomplishment, finishing Shas while you're training for a marathon. So let us begin. The topic we started to discuss at the end of the daf yesterday is whether a woman requires bedikos before and after tashmish just to be mater her labaila, just to make sure that she's not seeing dam and therefore she's mutaris labaila. So our Gemara is going to continue that discussion, and we're going to talk about whether we encourage these bedikos. Do we even allow these bedikos? Is there a downside in doing such bedikos right around the time of tashmish? That's going to lead us into a discussion of how a person earns the title of a Sanua. The Gemara is going to discuss the difference between bedikra requirements for an Isha sheyesh laveses versus an Isha she'ein laveses. And on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, we're going to talk about what assumptions a husband is allowed to make about his wife's status if he comes home from a long trip. Does he have the right to assume she's Tahora, or must he assume she's Tameya until she verifies that she's Tahora? And that's going to be a sugya that comes up again in a couple of days. And then the Gemara is going to talk about what do we do about an Isha She'en Laveses, meaning what exactly is her status, what assumptions can we make about an Isha She'en Laveses. I would recommend that as we go through this sugya, since it is Nogea very much, La Halacha, try to think about each line in the Gemara. We'll point it out, whether the line is a greater indication that a woman would require bedikos labaila, or a greater indication that a woman would not require bedikos labaila. So we already saw yesterday, right after the two dots, that Rabbi Dor Mishmuel says that all of these bedikos are only letaros, but labaila, she's mutaris anyway. So the Gemara's response to that was, Pshita, of course these are only required letaros, because it says that she does a bedika in the morning. So Rabbi Dor Mishmuel modified what he said, and he said, no, what I meant to say is, it's only talking about an Isha that's asuka betaros, that a woman who's engaged, involved with taros, that migo dvaya bedika letaros, once you're going to require her to do bedikos twice a day for taros, so you might as well require her to do a bedika lebaila as well. But an eina asuka betaros does not require a bedika. So that's what the indicating, bizman hazeh, there will be no need for a bedika lebaila. So then the Gemara asks on that, I'm not sure exactly where we left off, but we'll pick it up from my kamashmalan tanina, last run line is tanina, about 12 lines before the end of the page. My kamashmalan tanina, kola nashim b'chaskas tara lebaalehen. What's the chiddush that she's not, that a woman who's ena asuka b'taros does not require a bedika to be with her husband? We already learned that all women are b'chaskas tara lebaalehen. We have a b'feirish mishnah like that on daf tesvav amin aleph. So says Marno, imi masnisin hava amina hanimi libisha sheyesh laveses. Avalisha shein laveses by a bedika. I would have assumed from that mishnah, you're talking about a woman who has a veses kavua. So good, she's not going to require a bedika every time she has tashmish, because she knows when her period is going to come, and it's not coming now. But an isha shein laveses, who's so unpredictable, I might have thought, hava amina, I might have thought that she requires a bedika. So that's why I need to be told that she doesn't. So says Gemara, v'hamas nisim b'isha shiyesh laveses askinan. But isn't our Mishnah talking about an isha shiyesh laveses? So how does our Mishnah help out in telling us that even a woman she'en laveses does not require bedika? So says Gemara, masnisin bein shiyesh laveses bein ein laveses. It's talking about any type of woman, even a woman who does not have veses. V'haka mashmalan. Neither a woman sheyesh laveses nor a woman shein laveses is going to require a dika purely labaila. If they're not a suka pataros, they do not require a bedika labaila, the Gemara is saying. But the chiddush is that if she is asuka b'taros, then the fact that she has a veses will not save her from the requirement of bedika labayla. Once she's asuka b'taros and we're requiring her to do bedika l'taros anyway, we're going to make her do a bedika labayla, even though she knows she's not getting her period right now. So, fact the Gemara of Ha'amra Shmuel Chada Zimna. Didn't Shmuel already tell us this once? Dam Rabbi Zeir, Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya, Amr Shmuel Isha She'ein La Veses Asur L'Shamish Ad Shetivdok V'Ukimna Basuka Petaros. That a woman who's Ein La Veses is not allowed to have Tashmish until she does the Bedika. And we said that that's Dafka talking about if she's Asuka Petaros. Says Gemara, yeah, Chada Michal Chaver to Itmar. One of those statements was Megala on the other statement, meaning they came together. It's not like he said them as two separate chidushim. So bottom line is, the Gemara seems to be saying, when you have a woman that's asuka b'taros, so yes, she's going to require a bedika labayla, whether she has a vessel or not. But if a woman is not asuka b'taros, she will never require a bedika labayla. Tanya nami achi b'medvar m'murim l'taros, avu labala m'teres, b'medvar m'murim she'nicha b'cheskas tahora. But this is also only if when they last saw each other, she was b'cheskas tahora. But if the last he knew was that she was Temeya, then she remains Becheskas Temeya until she says Tahorani. That's also Halach and Shulchan Aruch, that there needs to be some form of communication where the woman who was previously Tameh indicates that she's Tahora. We pass him, it doesn't have to be Beferish that she says Tahorani, but anytime a woman goes to the mikvah, she should make some form of communication. There's a Shaila in Poskim whether non-verbal communication is good enough. Meaning she's a firm person, she would never touch him, she would never even pass anything to him if she was still a Nida. And she comes home from the mikveh and she starts acting like she's not a Nida. So whether that's good enough, but some form of communication is necessary when she was previously Becheskas Temeh. It could be as simple as the husband saying, everything go okay? Yeah, everything went as planned. Fine, good. And then, she's Torah. So, by me, Rabbi Zeir made Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Zeir now on top of the Bezim and Aleph. Rabbi Zeir asked Rabbi Yehuda the following. Isha mahu shetivdok atzma labayla. Meaning, working with the assumption that we have that a woman is not required to do a bedika labayla when she's not a sukkah b'taros, is she allowed to do a bedika labayla? Samalei, lo tivdok. She absolutely should not do it. Why not? V'tivdok, umabakach. It sounds like a nice chumrah. Make sure to be certain that she's not a nida, that she didn't bleed right during the tashmish or right before the tashmish. Let her do bedika before, let her do bedika after. Now, imkein libo nokfo poresh. If she does a bedika, it's going to be a turnoff for him. He's going to get scared that, she must think she's a nida, she must feel that something's not right, and he's not going to be interested in taking that risk, and that's not going to be good for Shalom Bayis, it's not going to be good for Puravu. It's a bad idea to discourage the husband based on giving the impression that something is not right. So you should not only, see, here's another statement of the Gemara that seems to indicate not only is a bedika not required for Tashmish, but it's not even encouraged, it's discouraged. What about right after Tashmish, so that she could know if her husband was Boel Nida and he's going to be Chayv Achatos or not? Now, obviously, he's not going to be Chayv Kari, he's going to do this B'mezid, but right after Tashmish, if she bled during Tashmish, then the husband is going to be Chayv Achatos. So, should she do a Bedika right afterwards? You don't have to worry about Libanok Fo Parish because he's doing that, because before she didn't do Bedika. But right afterwards, to know if she's Chayv Achatos. So is that even possible to do bedika in a short enough window of time after Tashmish to be confident enough that that blood was already there at the time of Tashmish that you're going to be mechayev v'machatas? Vatanya ezu shir veses. What is the shir of time within which she has to find the dam in order to know for sure that the husband was Boel Nida? Mashal l'shamish ve'ed. As soon as the husband pulls out of his wife, she has to have a bedika cloth ready, and immediately, at that very moment, take the bedika cloth and check herself. But even then, if she inserts the bedika cloth internally, that already takes too much time. And that already would be too long, so you wouldn't be confident that that blood was actually there, b'shas tashmish. It has to be only the amount of time that it takes, that as soon as he pulls out, that she's going to immediately take the cloth and only do a kinuach, an external kinuach. And if at that point you find dam, then you know he's chayev v'chatos. So how can you ask the question, Malshe tivdok atzma? Tivdok atzma implies she's inserting something internally. That's not going to tell us if he's chayev v'chatos. That takes too much time. No, elamau she tikaneach. Okay, we phrased it poorly, but the real question is, what is the halacha? Should she be mekaneach herself? Should she just do an external wipe afterwards in order to make sure that there's no dam there, so that if there is, he's going to be chayev echatos? The ikka da amri hachi bar minei. And others say that, no, the shaila was, isha mau shetivdok atzma. It was about doing a bedika, but not to be mechayev mechatas, but rather kedei lechayev bala ashem talui. That he'll at least be chayev and ashem talui. Meaning, it's at least, if it happens 3 seconds later that she finds dam, so it may not be 1 second later, so it may not be a vadai, but 3 seconds later, I mean, the chances are there's a pretty reasonable chance that that dam was there during the tashmish as well. At least enough to be mechayev him and ashem talui, not enough to be mechayev and mechatas. So the answer was, lo tivdok, don't do such bedikos, you don't want to know. V'tivdok mabekach, why not? What's wrong with knowing such things? So says Gemara, im kein, libo nokfo porish. Again, it's going to be libo nokfo porish. Why is it libo nokfo porish? They already had tashmish. No, the point is that if every time they have tashmish, right away, after tashmish, she's checking, oh, maybe I was anida, maybe you were just bo'al anida, then that's going to get in his head also. And the next time, he's going to be porish from having tashmish with her. And therefore, the conclusion of this Gemara seems to be, right here at the two dots, that it is not only not required to do bedikos before tashmish, but it is discouraged that she should not do bedikos before or after tashmish because of libo nokfa uporish. Then the Mishnah said that in the woman who's doing bedikos for taros, in addition to the two bedikos she does daily for taros, should also do bedika when she's going to be with her husband. Right? So Amar Rabbi Ami, Vizo Eden Shal Tznuos. That this is the habit of the tznuos, meaning this is not a chiyuv to do these bedikos labayla, even if the woman is asuka b'taros, it is a midas chasidus, it's a really special thing to do. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Tana Tani Tzrichos, Vatani Tznuos. What do you mean? It says Tzrichos, that they require a bedika. How could you say that it's only about the tznuos if it says tzrichos, that it's necessary? So Amalei Shani Omer Kol Makayim Divrei Chachamim Nikra Tznua. Tznua doesn't necessarily mean a midas chasidus. Tznua means anyone who's Makayim Divrei Chachamim. Whoever fulfills the Divrei Chachamim earns the title of tznua, even though one is obligated to be Makayim the Divrei Chachamim. So Amar Rava, really? Therefore, v'she'enu Makayim Divrei Chachamim Tznua hu delo mikri harasha lo mikri? Sounds like tznua is a compliment. So when you're mekayim divrei chachamim, you earn that compliment. And if you're not mekayim divrei chachamim, the diuk would be, you don't earn that compliment. You're a regular person. But we're not going to, we're not going to degrade you. We're not going to say that you're a rasha. So is that true? That you're not a rasha? You're not mekayim divrei chachamim? Of course you are. That's part of our religion, is you have to be mekayim divrei chachamim. So how could it be that you earn some sort of special pat on the back and a title of tznua when you're mekayim divrei chachamim? Something so simple as being mekayim divrei chachamim. Ella amar Rava, tznuos ad shabbat kubo atzman lefnei shabbat kubo atzman lefnei tashmish zeh. No, the difference between a tznua and a regular person is not whether they fulfill this takanas chachamim or not. Of course, even regular people fulfill this takanas chachamim, that if they're asuk in betaros, they're also going to do a bedika for tashmish as well, for their husbands as well. The difference between the tznuos and the regular people is that the tznuos would not reuse the same bedika cloth. The age of Batka Batsam Lefnei Tashmash Zeh Ein Botkos Bo Lefnei Tashmash Acher. The bedika cloth that they used for one Tashmash, they're not going to reuse again. What's so wrong with reusing it if it came out clean the first time? So the assumption is it loses some of its whiteness, some of its sharpness, and therefore dam is not going to show up as clearly when it's used a second time. They'll use the same bedika cloth more than once, and they are therefore being mekayim divrei chachamim. That's why they're not rishayim, but they're just not tznuos. Gufa. Amr b'zei Rabbi Amr Rabbi Abba bar Yirmiya Amr Shmuel. Isha she'ein lo veses asur l'shamesh ad shetivdok. That a woman who does not have a veses is not allowed to have tashma shamita without a bedika. So that's here's our first indication that any woman who's ein lo veses cannot have tashmish without a bedika, that she requires a bedika. So Amr b'zei Rabbi Abba bar Yirmiya ein lo veses by a bedika yesh lo veses. Lo baya bedika. Do you mean to tell me that a woman who has a vesis doesn't need a bedika? Meaning, obviously, you're talking about a woman who's asuka b'taros. Because if she's in an asuka b'taros, like Bizman Azeh, we already discussed. We said there's no way she is required to do bedika. She's not even supposed to do bedika. So if you're talking about a woman who's asuka b'taros, it shouldn't really matter. If she has a vesis, she also needs to do a bedika. Amrle yesh la vesis. Here's what I mean to say. If she has a vesis, Ara baya bedika, yishena lo baya bedika. That if she's awake, she's going to require a bedika. But if she's sleeping, you don't need to bother her with a bedika before tashmish if she's sleeping anyway, because she has a vesa, so you know that she's not going to get her period now anyhow. But ain la vesas. But if she does not have vesa, bein ara bein yishena baya bedika, she's going to require a bedika whether she's awake or not, whether it's convenient or not. Amarava Valei Malei, why doesn't he give a different answer? Why doesn't he say that Yesh Leveses Litaros by a Bedika Labala Lo by a Bedika? Ein Levesafi Labaila Nami by a Bedika? Maybe he should have said that, look, if a woman has a set pattern and she has a Zman that she's always going to see Dam, so then we're going to, a Chumra for Taros, we're going to require her to do Bedika. But if it was purely about her husband, we would not require her to do Bedika. But maybe in Ein Leveses, maybe this should have been his answer. That in Ein Leveses, a typical woman who's not so predictable should require Bedika even just to be with her husband. But he didn't give that answer. From the fact that he didn't say that, you see again another indication directly in the Gemara that Shmuel says, even a woman who's ain leves says, you never need bedika to allow tashmish with the husband. So I don't know, I'm not keeping count of how many different statements in the Gemara we've had where the Gemara reiterates this idea that you never need lahalacha, that you're never going to need bedika for the husband. But it's going to continue. But first, the Gemara takes a little break. Tana Rabbana. If a person is away for a long period of time, he's a worker, he's a donkey driver, he was away at a Beis Havel, he was away at a Beis HaMishta, so when they come home, they can assume their wives are still Tahara, and they can go and be with their wives, whether their wives are asleep or whether they are awake. That's only if you left them while they were b'cheskas tara. But if last you saw her, she was b'cheskas tuma, lo l'mitmeya ad shetomer lo tahorani. She's going to remain b'cheskas tuma until she verifies otherwise. What kind of woman are we talking about over here? If we're talking about a woman who's yesh leveses, didn't Shmuel say that if you have a woman who's yesh leveses that's awake, she's still going to require a bedika, provided that she's a suka pataru, she's still going to require a bedika, you're going to require confirmation that she's not seeing dam? If we're talking about a woman who's ain leveses, then it's going to be a problem whether she's awake or asleep, because Shmuel said previously, about 10 lines ago, that if you have a woman who's a suka pataros and she's ain leveses, she's going to require a bedika, even if it's inconvenient, even if she's sleeping, because you never know. So says more liolam v'shiyesh leveses. We're talking about a woman who has a veses. V'kivan shetava ein lecha bedika gadol mizu. Why does she not require a bedika? Because if he's taveya her for tashmish, that's the same as a bedika. Meaning, if he said if she's willing to have tashmish with him, that's the equivalent of a bedika. Meaning of checking with her to see that she's tahora. So amalei Rav Papa LeRava mal mevid ki hamasnisa. Are we allowed to follow this teaching? Meaning that the The two days in Rashi, exactly what this means, we'll see in a second. Amrle Sudni lo de Meganya Ba'ape. So he said Sudni, two days in Rashi, what the word Sudni means. One is it means Soda Shemli Reyev, that you're a huge Talmud Chacham, and that's why you call him Sudni, a Sod person, the person who's Zocha to Sodos, because of Soda Shemli Reyev. The other possibility of what Sudni means is that it means a beer brewer, that it's so very different explanations of what Sudni means, but someone who works in the beer brewing industry. So we wanted to know, can we do like what it says in this brisa, or should we be nohig like it says in this brisa, that a sleeping woman would require some sort of bedika, whether just to be toveah or something, some sort of bedika? So he said, no, she does not require a bedika. Why? De meganya ba'apa. Because when he tells her to be bodik, when it comes from the derech, she's going to be nisgana, he's going to find it to be disgusting, and then it's going to ruin the entire moment. Okay, so now what the Gemara wants to know, bottom line, what did the Gedolei Hamoraim do? Did they require their wives to do bedika before Tashmish or not? We asked the wives of Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, what would seem to be a highly personal question, but they asked, when the Rabban came back from yeshiva, meaning they would go off to yeshiva for months at a time or weeks at a time, and then they would come home every once in a while. So when they came back from yeshiva, did they require you to do bedika? Lo, and they said no. These gedolei amoraim did not require bedika for tashmish. So again, another indication that bedika is not required. Labayla. So frankly, Gemara though, why didn't they just ask the chacham themselves? Why did they have to ask their wives what chacham did? Says Mar Dilma Inhu Kamachmiri Anafshayu. They were afraid that they weren't going to get a straight answer, that a real answer, because they were afraid that these Gedolei Amoraim would say, look, for the psak is you don't need bedika. We ourselves are extra machmir, so we require our wives to do bedika. But they wanted to know the hanhaga. They didn't just want to know the psak. They wanted to know the hanhaga of these gedolim that they can only get from the wives. So that they asked the wives, and the wives said, no, they taka did not require bedika. So you see, even as a midas chasidus, it seems that a bedika is not required lebaila, right? So another indication that bedika is not required. Just one or two things over here. First of all, on Amud Aleph, we had said that we discussed the possibility that a man comes home and the difference whether you require bedika if she's awake or if she's sleeping. So Tos points out, sleeping? You're allowed to have bia with a sleeping wife. Tos says it's against the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara Maseches Nedarim says that the child that's going to result from tashmish that's had while the wife is sleeping is not going to be good. Is not going to be great. That's not a it's b'nei tesha amidos. It's not one of the things that we look upon with favor. So Tosla says two possibilities. Pirush Deleke Isur Nidus Avol Asur Laval Yeshena Kedam Darim. He says first of all, we're talking about Hilchos Nida over here. But Erech Inami, it's not proper Derech Eretz and it's wrong. Inami, he says, Hachlo Lagamri B'Yeshena Ayri Eleina Aro Kol Kach Shatei De LaHashav Mitarim Lav. Now, there's a difference between someone who's sleeping versus someone who's dozing, someone who's like not totally into it. So if you have someone who's totally sleeping, that's what the Gemara Nedarim was talking about. If you have a woman who's just not really there to be able to respond to questions about her Tara status, that's what our Gemara is talking about, but she's not actually sleeping. It is pointed out, the Masoras Shas on the side of the page does point out that there's no such Gemara Nedarim. There is a Gemara in Dharma that talks about B'nai Teisha Midos, talks about people who where it's a bad thing and bad Midos in terms of relating to Tashmish, but one of them is not sleeping. It does not list it. So he says that like B'nai Shikora, right? For example, if they had Tashmish while they were drunk, that's not right, and other things. B'nai Ema. So however, they point out that even though there's a Maseches Kala that does list it, that has the nine that it has in the Dharma, and then says V'yesh Omrim, even someone who's sleeping, that's also a problem. The Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Deos says Lo Tia Yeshena, that it's he quotes like from what Maseches Kala says. that she shouldn't be sleeping. And it's strange that it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Siman Reish Mem, in Shulchan Aruch, you have Hilchos Tznius, you have Halachos of Tashmish Hamita. Doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch, so he wonders why it is that it's not in in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef on the Torah, Yardesim Kuf Pei Dalid, just quotes this Tosos word for word without even noting that Tosos is misquoting a Gemara, which is a little bit strange, but they suggest that maybe the Rav Ranchburg writes over here on the side of the page, V'ulai b'gemara d'nadarim shalfnei Tosos ha'yukasav nami hach v'yesham raf b'nei yeshena. You have to say that Tosos must have had a different girsa in that Gemara, and it's not so crazy because the Maseches Kala has that girsa. But so it's two things. First of all, it's an assumption that it's in the Gemara, and second of all, an assumption that we pass in that way. Because it had the nine, even the Maseches Kala had the nine, and then says, V'yesh omrim. So that's as far as Tashmish while one is sleeping. That's as far as the woman sleeping. What if the man is sleeping? So there's a discussion in the Achronim whether a man is Mekayim, the mitzvah of Puravu, if he had Tashmish that conceived a child while he was sleeping. It's a Shaila in the Achronim. In the Tshuvas Chayim V'Shalom, he discusses this issue and he says, and don't think that it's impossible for one to conceive a child while they're sleeping. He says, because you hear stories of people doing crazy things while they're asleep. Sleepwalking, he said, in my city, there was a guy who got up and he walked down the stairs of his house, went to the well, drew water from the well, filled up his basin in the kitchen, went back upstairs, and the whole time he was sleeping. People are sometimes able to do crazy things when they're sleeping. So he says, I believe it. I believe it's possible that a man can conceive a child while he's sleeping. The shaila is he mekayim the mitzvah puruvu? Why wouldn't he be mekayim the mitzvah puruvu? Because a person is sleeping. It's pata from all mitzvahs. He's sleeping. He's not chayiv in anything. So maybe he's not mekayim the mitzvah of puruvu. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Tshuvas Yaivitz discusses this. He says, not a bardas, lo la mitzvah, lo la avera, lo la schar, lo la onesh. And therefore, l'charei should not be mekayim the mitzvah of puruvu. Now, that makes an assumption that the mitzvah of puruvu is a mitzvah in the maisa. You know, that's not so pashut at all, that the mitzvah of puruvu is a mitzvah in the maisa. For example, you have, specifically when it comes to, even without puruvu, the Gemara talks about a woman who falls into a mikveh, and she had no kavana whatsoever, just like totally, just fell into a mikveh. That's enough to be metaher her labaila. That a yavam, that it could be kona his yavama with where he just fell on her or something like that without any kavana whatsoever. But by puruvu in particular, the mitzvah of puruvu very likely has nothing to is. The maisa is the hechsher mitzvah, meaning that's where it's the maisa mitzvah, but the kiyuma mitzvah is the birth of a child. The kiyuma mitzvah, and that's what Minchas Chinuch writes, that if a person is able to have a kiyuma mitzvah without a maisa mitzvah, so that's what poskim discuss, like with if you do IVF. So is it, there's no maisa bia. So you can tell me there's no mitzvah of puruvu. So some would say, no, there's no mitzvah of puruvu. But Pashtus says, of course there is. That if there's a child that comes about as a result of you, whether you were a bar chiyuva at the time of the maisa or not, that even if a woman is nesabra bambatya, that there would be a kiyum mitzvah of puruvu. There's also a discussion over here, very briefly. There's a discussion, you know, they asked the wives of these gedolim because they assumed they were not going to get a straight answer. So there is a discussion in Achronim. If a person has a situation where the halacha is not required, bal nefesh yachmer latzmo, does that have to be communicated to a shoel? Or do you just say not required? Do you have to communicate to them and let them decide if they are a bal nefesh or not? So they bring a raya from what the Torah writes. The Torah writes that the Rashbam and Rabbi Elazar Mimitz asered nosin tam lefgam on Pesach, that they were machmir, that even when it's a tam pogum of chametz, that it's also on Pesach. So Marm Rutenberg says that ani oser le'atzmi, because the Rashbam said so I personally take it upon myself as a chumra, but I'm matir la'achevim. Why? Because Rabbi Natam and the Ri were matir. But nevertheless, when people ask me the shayla, I tell them that it's a machlokas, and many people understand that since it's a machlokas, if they want to be a bal nefesh, that they're going to be machmir. In our sugya, it sounds not that way, right? In our sugya, it sounds like if they would have asked these Gedolei Amoraim, they would not have told them that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Meaning that's why they had to ask their wives, just in case these Amoraim were being Machmir on themselves, and they would not have otherwise told them. So that's the discussion that emerges from here. Says Gemara Vayter. Now, again, let's focus on whether or not a woman requires bedika. Tanu Rabbanan, isha shein la vesa asu l'shamesh. If a woman doesn't have a vessel, she has no set pattern, she's never allowed to have tashmish with her husband because it's so risky. Ve'ein la lo ksuba, she can't get a ksuba, ve'lo peros, nor the peros nuchse milug, she doesn't get back. Ve'lo mezonos, she doesn't get mezonos. If the husband goes out of town, we don't go to his estate and use the money to support her. Ve'lo belaos, the worn out clothing that she brought into the marriage, she doesn't get. Ve'yotzi, and the husband divorces her, ve'lo machzir olamos, and he's never allowed to remarry her. Divrei Meir. That is the most extreme shita in all of Maseches Nida, right? Meaning it's essentially telling you, Rav Meir's shita is any woman who doesn't have vesed kavua, which means most women bizman hazeh who are not on a pill, any woman who does not have vesed kavua is not allowed to be married, is an aguna. So that's a pretty extreme shita. That's Rav Meir. Rav Chanin ben Antigonus Omer, Mishameshes b'shnei edim, hein v'suah, hein teknuah. She can have tashmish, she needs to do bedikos. She's got to do a bedika beforehand, a bedika afterwards, and that will ruin her or fix her. Meaning, if it comes out bad, so then she won't be able to have tashmish, and if it comes out okay, then she will. Misham Abachanan Amru, Oilo Labaila. And Abachanan just says, oh boy, you don't want to be her husband. But it doesn't say what that means. It's just lament about being the husband of a woman who's a mavesa. So the Gemara analyzes this. So Asur l'shamish, let's take Rameir first. It says she's not allowed to be mashamish. Why not? Dimel mekalkelasle, because she might ruin him, meaning it might turn out that she's a nida. He's going to be bowl of nida. Ve'en l'ksuba, she doesn't get a ksuba. Why? Kivin d'lachasi l'biya, less l'ksuba. If she's unable to have biya, then she's not entitled to ksuba. V'lo peros, v'lo mezonos, v'lo blaos. Why doesn't she get any of those things? Tanai ksuba, ksuba dami. Those are all tanai ksuba, and therefore if she doesn't get a ksuba, there's no tanai ksuba. V'yotzi v'lo yachzer olamis. Yes, the divorcer, he's never allowed to remarry her. Pshita, isn't that obvious that he's not allowed to remarry her? She doesn't have a veses. So if he had to divorce her, of course he's not allowed to remarry her. Says Marlo Tzricha da Hadra v'itkina. No, the point is, even if she develops a vesed later on, sometimes women's bodies change over time and she starts developing a cycle later on, a more predictable cycle. So Mao Detemeli Hadra, I might have thought, okay, at that point you could say, I was in love with this woman, I chose to marry her, but it didn't work out because ain't la veses. Now she has a veses, let me remarry her. So Kamash Malan, Tzimin Dazel Menasu Mitkina. No, because we're concerned that sometimes she'll get remarried to somebody else and she'll develop a veses. V'amar, and the first husband will say, Ilu Ayisi Odea Shekach Hoya, if I would have known that things would be mistader with her eventually, Afilu Yisim Nosan Imeya Manal Yisim Megarsha, I never would have given her a get in the first place. V'nimsa get batel, it will turn out that the get is going to be batel, Ubanea Mamzerin, and all of her children from the new marriage are Mamzerin, because he's saying the whole get was betos. So we don't want that to happen, therefore we make a rule that you're divorcing her and you're never allowed to remarry her no matter what happens. And then Abachanan said, "Oilo lebala." So what does that mean? So you get down the Rameir Amalei Dvayla Guik Subasa. Some say that he was arguing with Rameir. The Rameir says the husband doesn't have to pay her ksuba because she's unable to have tashmish. So one possibility is Abachanan saying, "Yes, he does have to pay her ksuba, and that's why it's even worse for him. Not only can't he keep his wife, he's got to pay her ksuba." Others say that no, he was talking to Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus that you're saying that she could be mishamish using edim oil baila because maybe she won't see dam before tashmish, but she'll find dam right after tashmish, and it will turn out that he was boel anita. So it's a very risky thing to be the husband of such a woman. Amar of Yudam Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus, that we pass like Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus. What did Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus say? That mishameshes b'shnei edim, that a woman who's ein leveses has to do bedikos before and after tashmish. Whoa, so here's the first time in all of the last daf and a half that we have the Gemara making a statement, la halacha, that l'chorah she has to do bedikos, that there is a requirement for bedika. So b'mai, iba asuka b'taros, well, wait a second, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a woman's asuka b'taros? That we've had already. Hamar Shmuel chadazimna. Shmuel already told us that. V'b'she'ena asuka b'taros, but if we're talking about an ena asuka b'taros, hamar kalabai lo bai bedika. Dam Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel, isha she'en leveses, asu l'shamish ad she'tivdok, v'kim lo b'asuka b'taros. Didn't we already say that an isha she'ena asuka b'taros does not require a bedika? Answers the Gemara, manda masniha, lo masniha. The one, yes, we did say that before, but the person who said that is not the person who said this. Meaning, they're both Shmuel. In fact, they're both maybe even Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. But previously, when we paskin that you don't need a bedika just for a woman to have tashmish with her husband, that is not the same Amora that's teaching us now that we paskin like Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus, that even bisman azeh, a woman who's not a sukkah bedaros, does require bedikos whenever she wants to be with her husband. Okay, so now we have a daf of Gemaras, one after the other, telling us no bedikos, no bedikos. And at the very end, thrown in there, oh, we paskin Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus, yes, bedika. You need a bedika labayla. So the question becomes, okay, how do we paskin over here? So first of all, there are two deos within Rashi, how to understand the Gemara's answer over here. The first explanation of Rashi is that in both cases, Shmuel really said the same thing, that only an isha that's a sukkah pataros requires bedika. But two different Amoraim reported it in the name of Shmuel, and therefore Shmuel wasn't being redundant. If that's the case, that would mean that we don't need bedikos nowadays. That even when he passed on Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus, he's only talking about it as sukkah bataros. That would mean that we don't need bedikos nowadays. The difficulty with that is, the Ran points out, the Ran asks on Rashi, that how can you say that Rabbi Chaim ben Antigonus is talking about it as sukkah bataros? Rav Meir says she's usher forever. And you're only talking about a chumra lataros, and you can make a woman an aguna based on a chumra lataros? Hard to imagine that that Rav Meir would make a woman an aguna on a situation where the whole issue is only lataros and not labaila. And it's also illogical to assume that Rav Meir and Rabbi Chanina are so far apart. That Rav Meir holds she's never allowed to be married, and Rabbi Chanina says that an Eina Asuka doesn't even need bedikos, that she is someone who's Eina Asuka wouldn't even require bedikos. So the second explanation of Rashi is that there's a machlokas amoraim, what Shmuel said. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel thinks he holds like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that nowadays a woman does require bedika, whereas Rabbi Abba Yirmiyah thinks that Shmuel does not require a bedika bizman hazeh. That would mean, if the second day of Rashi is correct, that if we pass on like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, then yes, we will require bedikos even bizman hazeh. Rashi rejects that explanation, though. And Rashi prefers his first explanation. So it seems that we have a whole sugya telling you not to do bedikos. You have two deos in Rashi, whether there's even a possibility that you do bedikos, and Rashi rejects the possibility that you do bedikos. So why in the world would anyone say you require bedikos? Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by the Rashba, the Rush, the Ritva, to hold like the second approach of Rashi, the one that Rashi rejected, and to paskin like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, to paskin that she does require bedikos. The Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar holds the same way. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran all understand that that's also the sheet of the Rif in Maseches Ksuvos, because the Rif quotes this Shmuel passing like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus in Maseches Ksuvos. The Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ran say that that's also the sheet of Harambam. So wow, for a Gemara that the entire Gemara was telling us no bedikos, no bedikos, no bedikos, we have the majority of Gedolei Rishonim saying yes bedikos, that you do require bedikos for Tashmish. So you have Rashi on the one hand that says no, you don't require bedikos. Sefer HaTrumah agrees with Rashi. Then on the other hand, you have a whole group, the Rif, the Rashba, the Rush, the Ritva, the Rav, Beinu Chanal, all of them saying you do require bedikos. Then there's an in-between shita, and that's the sheet of the Rif. The Rif's shita, the Rif writes, not just that Yistam require bedikos, but the Rif paskins that if a woman does not have Vesis Kavua, she should be bodekes the first three times after Tashmish. And this is frequently taught in Kala classes or whatever, that the first three times after Tashmish, she should do a bedika. But once you did three times and there was no dam that was seen, then she doesn't need further bedikos. Now, that's a little tricky. First three times, but of course there's going to be dam besulim after the first few times. So it means that after dam besulim is out of the way, then the next few times you require bedika. It's still not as simple as it sounds, because Truma Sedeshin holds that even though most women nowadays are ein laveses, if let's say a woman gets her period sometimes 25 days later, sometimes 30 days later, sometimes 32, but it's never earlier than 25. Never in her life has she gotten her period less than 25 days later. That's ki'ilu, that up until 25 days she has a veses kavua that she's not going to see done, which would mean that bedikos during that window are useless. Meaning, if you're going to require bedikos, it would mean that the bedikos, first of all, can't be while they're still dam besulim, and that the bedikos during that window of time are useless, because then she's nisha sheyesh laveses, and the requirement of bedikos of Rabbi Chanina over here is only by nisha sheein laveses. So it's going to render such bedikos useless. So it would require a lot of cheshbening to figure out how to do these bedikos properly. It's also not abundantly clear, the Rishonim struggle with, where in the world did the Rif get three times? You know, there are two possibilities in our Gemara. Either you require bedikos labayla, and that means always, or you don't require bedikos at all, and therefore it means never. Shulchan Aruch, we pass on that you require bedikos. But the Shach, and this is what a lot of people rely on, the Shach says that no, everyone misunderstood the Rif. And the only reason all these other Rishonim got on board and said you require bedikos is because they thought that was the Shita of the Rif. But says the Shach, I understand the Rif, and I could tell you that's not at all what the Rif is saying. What the Rif is doing with his three bedikos has nothing to do with Nisha Shein Leveses or anything like that. It's about a different sugya called Roa Machmas Tashmish, that sometimes there's a condition that people used to have that they would see Dam as a result of Tashmish. So in order to ensure that she's not a Roa Machmas Tashmish, the Rif said, let her do three bedikos to ensure that she's not a Roa Machmas Tashmish. Okay, we could deal with that sugya separately. But as far as bedikos to be Matar Lebailam, the Rif never said it. And if the Rif never said it, all the other Rishonim never would have said it. And they all would have gotten in line with Rashi. And that's why the Shach writes in Simen Kuf Pei Vav that no bedikos are required. So you still have Ada Yom Hazeh. You have different approaches, what Chassadim and Kalas are told. I don't think anyone is told to do bedika every single time, right? Like the straight pasuk like Rabbi Chanina ben Tikvah, but at most people do like what the Rif says to do bedikos three times. But even then, it's very tricky to time it just right, where you're actually going to be accomplishing something with those bedikos. Okay.